Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
Welcome to the Marriage and More Podcast with your hosts, Sterling and Soretta Smith, where they talk about love, life, marriage, and a whole lot more.
What's up, what's up? Welcome to Marriage and More with your hosts,
Sterling Smith
and Soretta Smith, where we talk about love, life, marriage, and a whole lot more. Welcome to the show. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to tune in to Marriage and More with Sterling and Soretta. We are excited to be here and looking forward to the show today. What's been going on, Mr. Smith?
Sort of in mourning. My team lost.
Oh, God.
My quarterback retired.
Oh, my goodness.
This looked like the Buccaneers are, we had some trying times. But we'll be all right.
Wow. So there you have it, folks. Sterling is in mourning, as he calls it, his team lost. And, I mean, the game was dramatic because they were down.
They had a chance.
And they came back and tied the game. And I would like, 40 seconds left. I just knew they were going into overtime.
Nah.
And they decided to...
Stop making me relive this.
Okay, all right. I won't make him relive it. But anyway, it was a dramatic game. The news broke that Tom decided he was going to retire. And I think it was a little unfair that, you know, he shared with somebody and they leaked it out. And he wasn't able to have his hoorah and come by himself, you know, and tell everybody. And so I think today he finally released a statement. And
yeah, he got to have his moment. Like the media does. The media is the media. They search for information. They want to put it out first.
Yeah, but you know, it's a big bummer. But you know, he's the GOAT. He's the greatest of all time. He had, seven rings?
Yeah, he has seven Super Bowls.
He played 22 years. 22 years. And
the best two was with the Buccaneers, though, the last two.
Okay, yeah, whatever. And I think, you know, based on his statement and just hearing, you know, some of the clips that they've been playing, he's ready to go to the house and spend time with his kids and his family.
It's time.
He has to
get that family life going.
Yeah. He gave fans 22 years. So
it's time for him to step out gracefully and go out on top.
On top, yeah, with a Super Bowl ring and in pretty good health and, you know, not any major injuries and just the story that, you know, would kind of really put a dampen on his career. So, Tom Brady, if you're listening, my husband is in mourning because you're retiring and the Bucs lost, but he's still pro Brady, and we thank you for coming to Tampa and for giving us that great year and this great year and a lot of good memories in football. So, yeah.
Thank you, Tom Brady.
Thank you, Tom. We appreciate you, Tom. Well, the Lakers are not looking so hot.
Oh, don't even mention
Oh, my gosh. I know. But you know what? Hey, I'm a diehard fan. You know, I'm not going to turn my back.
You're a true fan. That's good.
I think.
You're there.
Y'all not going to talk about LeBron. Not in front of me now. It's just not going to happen. But I think that you know, his legacy is going to be great. Yeah, he did so much for basketball. You know, LeBron's been in the league 17 years?
19
years. Yeah, so, I mean, he has really been the face of the NBA. He's carried the NBA. He has had a tremendous career. So, you know, no regrets. I would love to have seen them win another ring. And then, you know what? Who knows?
Anything's possible still. You have to let the season play out.
Anything's possible. So that was our sports segment.
Doesn't look good, but.
That was our sports segment. Well, no, there is one more thing I want to talk about. So we actually have a young man who is from Grove Town, the city that we live in. He went to the high school here. He played football here through high school. He went on to play college ball at ECU, I believe. And he is in the Super Bowl.
Yes, he's on the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah, NFL. He was drafted. He's a freshman.
He's a rookie.
Well, in basketball, they call them freshmen or rookies, whatever. So, yeah, he is a rookie. And first year, he's going to the Super
he's
Bowl.
He's from our community.
Yeah, he's from our community. So, I think I'm going to be supporting the Bengals. Yeah, it's only right.
It's got some hometown.
Yeah, it's only right. We're going to be cheering for them Bengals.
So, we'll cheer for the Bengals.
Yeah, because, you know, our boy that played at our high school is on the Bengals. So, we're going to be cheering for them. We're going to be cheering for the Bengals. I can't remember his name.
His last name is Smith, I know that.
That's right. His last name. All right, go Mr. Smith. Go Mr. Smith. So that's really exciting. Our community is all hyped up about that and excited about that. So that's something we're looking forward to. Well, let's get into the show today. Let's get on into the show. We've had our sports update. And today, you know, we're going to be talking about Black History Month. We had originally set aside this month as the love month.
The lovers month.
And we're still going to do that, where we're going to have couples come on and share their love story and talk about some of the challenges that maybe they've had and how they were able to navigate through some of the troubling times. If they had them, maybe they didn't. And just give us some nuggets and tips on how to have that happy, loving and successful marriage. But this is also Black History Month. So we also wanted to make sure that we gave space and talked about Black History Month. You know, I hear people say, well, you know, why Black History Month? I mean, why do we need a month, you know, dedicated just to the history of Black people? You know, what about the history of all people? And so there's, you know, lots of critics about it. You know, people have different opinions, but, you know, I'm Black. I'm African-American Black, whatever you want to call it. And so, you know, it is a month that I take pride in. What about you?
You take a whole lot of pride in that month.
Take a lot of pride in celebrating this month. You know, we should celebrate, you know, our history every day.
Yes, we should every day.
But this month has been set aside. And so we just wanted to talk a little bit about the story behind Black History Month and why it's celebrated in February. And Sterling and I are each going to share someone in our Black history that we are inspired by, that their story, you know, really inspires us and motivates us. And so we're going to each talk about that. So let's talk about this Black History Month. So we know that in every February in the United States, the U.S. honors the contributions and the sacrifices of African Americans who helped to shape this nation. Black History Month is so important because it celebrates the rich cultural heritage, the triumphs and the adversities that are an indelible part of our country's history, Sterling.
Yes, it does. And the things that we overcame.
Yeah, and we've overcome a lot in our history, and we've contributed so much. We had so many things stacked against us. There was so much adversity, so many things to overcome, but we are resilient people.
Yes, we are very resilient.
And so they have a theme this year, and the theme for Black History Month this year is Black Health and Wellness. The theme for Black History Month this year is Black Health and Wellness. And this thing pays homage to medical scholars and healthcare providers. And I think it's a very befitting theme, especially timely as we're entering in the third year of this COVID pandemic. What do you think about the theme of that with everything that's going on?
It's right on time because it also dabbles from the medicine side of the house to the actual psychological side of the house, too. And all that ties into Black health and wellness.
Absolutely. You know, COVID, with the COVID pandemic, you know, it has affected a lot of minorities, disproportionately affected minority communities. And it placed really a unique burden on Black healthcare professionals And so I think it's very befitting that it's black health and wellness. You know, really, there is no American history without African American history.
True. Very true. That you summed it up very well with that statement.
The White House, you know, was built on the backs of black slaves. Absolutely. So there is no American history without African American history. And, you know, the experience is embedded in everything we think of as American history. So let's look at what critics have argued. Critics have argued that Black history should be taught and celebrated year round and not during just one month each year.
Well, the critics are very right.
Yeah. And you know what? I want to share a story. I remember being in high school. I went to a predominantly white school. As a matter of fact, I attended a predominantly African-American school. And there were three high schools at the time. And really, you know, even during that time, we were segregated.
Yes,
because
very segregated.
All the black kids went to these two high schools. And there was this one high school that was, you know, it was all white. So the county merged. And what they did was they split the district to make the schools more diverse and not so segregated. So I ended up leaving the predominantly black school, which it did have some whites and other races because it was the school that the military bused their kids to. So, you know, the military is probably the most diverse organization,
yes, very diverse.
You know, in the nation. And so I ended up being bused to a white school. And I remember the first day of school, there were fights. Somebody got thrown through a glass. I mean, it was really a scary time. And I was really afraid. But things kind of got better. And I remember being in history class. And I had a Caucasian history teacher. And he gave us the syllabus. And I was looking through the syllabus to see, you know, what we were going to be studying for that year. And I also was comparing the syllabus to the book. And I remember going through the book and it was chapter 12. And that entire chapter dealt with slavery. But that was not on the syllabus.
Wow.
He skipped over that chapter. And so, you know, y'all know the Soretta that I am. I was the same Soretta back then. I raised my hand and I said, why aren't we covering chapter 12? Now, nobody else in the class had paid attention and really knew what chapter 12 was, but he was a history teacher. So he knew what chapter 12 was. And he just stared at me like he was angry. And I was like, so, you know, why are we going to study chapter 12? So slowly people started opening up their book and turning to chapter 12 and seeing that chapter 12 was about slavery.
Wow.
And so that was a moment that I had, you know, as a I think I might have been a junior or maybe I was a senior. I was a junior in high school where, you know, the history of, you know, my people was I felt like it was being
brushed
I was being
over.
Yeah, it was being brushed over. It
pushed
wasn't
aside.
Being taught. It was being pushed aside. And I was being denied. And so were my classmates being denied of hearing that part of history. It's an ugly part of history.
Very.
Yeah. But it's still a part of history. And I think that a lot of times we don't grow and learn if we don't reflect back on
the past.
Yeah.
And the truth of our past.
Right. Yeah. We don't reflect back on it and learn from it. And so as we were talking about this and it's saying that, you know, critics have argued that Black history should be taught and celebrated year round, not during just one month of the year, that triggered that memory for me. And I thought it was relevant to what we were talking. Yeah. Relevant to what we're talking about. So it was Carter G. Woodson. He is known as the father of Black history, who first set out in 1926 to designate a time to promote and educate Black people about Black history, and not just Black people, to educate people, period, about Black history,
our culture.
And he was an historian and the president of the Association for the Study of African American Life and History.
Wow, I'm learning something every day.
Yeah. Carter G. Woodson, the father of Black history. And so he envisioned a week-long celebration to encourage the coordinated teaching of Black history in public schools. And he designated the second week of February as Negro History Week and galvanized fellow historians through the Association for the Study of Negro Life and History, which he founded in 1915. And the idea wasn't to place limitations, but really to focus and broaden the nation's consciousness.
I like that.
Yeah.
Broaden the nation's consciousness, to let them see life through a Black person's eyes.
Absolutely.
Basically.
Yeah, that's good stuff. So his goal from the very beginning was to make the celebration of Black history in the field of history a serious area of study. And so the idea eventually grew in acceptance. And by the late 1960s, Negro History Week had evolved into what is now known as
Black History Month.
Black History Month.
I'm just looking at that. It took them almost 30 years to finally recognize it. I mean, that's a shame in itself that it took that long.
Yeah.
I can't believe that.
Well, I mean, you know, I have a friend, a colleague who is down in, I want to say College Park, Georgia, and she's the first woman and the first woman of color to be mayor. And I think she said like 125 years. So we're making, you know,
we're taking steps, baby steps, but we're taking steps. At least we're trying to progress forward.
Yeah. So there was a lot of protest around racial injustice, inequality, and anti-imperialism that was occurring in many parts of the U.S. And these were pivotal to this change. So colleges and universities began to hold commemorations. And Kent State University was one of the first that held a commemoration for Black History Month. 50 years, Sterling, 50 years after the first celebration, President Gerald R. Ford officially recognized Black History Month during the country's 1976 bicentennial.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was 10 years old.
Wow. Gosh. Well, how in 76, I was about eight
years old.
Wow.
I was 10 years
so,
old.
So, yeah, Ford called upon Americans to seize the opportunity to honor the too often neglected accomplishments of Black Americans in every area of endeavor throughout our history. So I'm sure that, you know, that had to be like for him a very monumental, pivotal moment.
Pivotal moment.
Yeah, in his presidency, in his life.
In his life. To
yeah.
actually step out like that.
To step out like that during a time like that. Yeah. So, yeah. So 1976, Black History Month, it became officially recognized during the month, 1976. And February was chosen primarily because the second week of the month coincides with the birthday of both Abraham Lincoln and
Frederick Douglass.
So we know that Lincoln was influential in the emancipation of slaves, and Douglass, a former slave, was a prominent leader in the abolitionist movement, which fought to end slavery. So I think it's very befitting that they chose this month. So this is why people say, well, why February? So now we're finding out that it was chosen because this was when Abraham Lincoln's birthday and Frederick Douglass. And we know that according to history, Lincoln, you know, played a part in the emancipation of slaves. And we all know Frederick Douglass. We got to learn about him. So Lincoln and Douglass were each born in the second week of February. So it was traditionally a time when African Americans would already be holding celebrations to honor the emancipation and Douglass's birthday. But yeah, that's interesting.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
How they tied that together.
And so Woodson created Negro History Week around the two birthdays as a way of commemorating the Black past. So 40 years after Ford formally recognized Black History Month, it was President Barack Obama, who was the nation's first Black president, who delivered a message of his own from the White House, a place that was built by slaves. So Black History Month shouldn't be treated as though it is somehow separate from our collective American history, or somehow just boiled down to a compilation of greatest hits from the March on Washington, or from some of our sports heroes. President Obama said that. He said that it's about the lived shared experience of all African Americans, high and low, famous and obscure, and how those experiences have shaped and challenged and ultimately strengthened America. So President Obama gave that address on February 18th, Black History Month in 2016, and he and First Lady Michelle Obama hosted the reception for Black History Month at the White House. So that was a Black president in the White House, built by slaves, Black History Month. Yeah, that's powerful.
Putting his stamp.
That's powerful. That's really, really powerful. So ASALH designates a new theme for Black History Month each year. So the organization that was established every year, they designate a new theme in keeping with the practice that Woodson established for Negro History Week. And again, we said that this year's theme is Black health and wellness, and it's appropriate because of the continuous fight that we're having with the coronavirus pandemic. And, you know, as Black people, a lot of time we have terrible health outcomes, and even the coronavirus has really been affecting African-Americans disproportionately in terms of those who are catching it. So in keeping with the theme of this year's Black History Month, Sterling, I think it would be befitting for us to talk about some African Americans pioneers who changed healthcare. I'll start with the first one, or do you want to go first?
Well, just go.
Okay. So we want to talk about James McCoon Smith.
I like that last
name. Yeah, Smith. We like that Smith. Yeah, Smith. He was probably an uncle or something, But James McCoon Smith, he was born in 1813. He lived to 1865. He was born into slavery in New York City in 1813. As a young man, he set his sights on becoming a doctor. He was denied admission to American colleges because he was Black.
Typical.
But he was able to attend the University of Glasgow in Scotland.
Wow.
Where he earned his bachelor's, master's, and medical degrees by age 24. Dr. Smith had a keen interest in languages. He mastered Latin, Greek, French, and developed a working knowledge of Hebrew, Italian, Spanish, and German.
Powerful man.
The brother was
brilliant.
He returned to New York City in 1837. He established his own medical office and pharmacy at 93 West Broadway, making him the first African American doctor with his own practice in the United States. A physician, he treated both Black and white patients and also served as the chief doctor at the New York City Colored Orphan Asylum. He devoted much of his life to working with abolitionists to end the enslavement of Black people in the South, and he died about 3 weeks before the passage of the 13th Amendment to the Constitution, which abolished slavery. Mr. James McCoon Smith, may you rest in peace, Sir, yes, we sir. Thank you for your contributions to healthcare.
Next, we're going to do Rebecca Lee Crumpler. She graduated from the New England Female Medical College in 1864, where she became the first female physician in the United States.
The first black female physician.
We have to put that emphasis on that. And the fact that she was female, that's awesome too right there. That same year, she opened a medical practice in Boston. I know she called it in Boston because that's one of the, well, I'm not even going to get into that. Before she attended college, she had worked as a nurse, and she wrote her book of the medical discourses, published in 1883. She saw every opportunity to relieve the suffering of others. The book was one of the first publications about medicine written by an African American. Very impressive.
Very impressed. Miss Rebecca Lee Crumpler, ma'am, may you rest in peace. We thank you for your contributions to history in the health field. Next, Mr. Daniel Hale Williams. Daniel Hale Williams, after apprenticing with a surgeon, Daniel Hale Williams earned a medical degree and started working as a surgeon in Chicago in 1884. Because of discrimination, hospitals at that time barred black doctors from working on staff. So Williams opened the nation's first black-owned interracial hospital.
He did what we always
do. Wow, this is awesome.
Yes, it's awesome. He did what black people always do. We adapt and overcome.
Wow. Providence Hospital offered training to African-American interns and established America's first school for black nurses. On July 10th, 1893, Williams successfully repaired the pericardium, that's the sac that's around the heart, of a man who had been stabbed in a knife fight. The operation is considered to be the first documented successful open heart surgery on a human, and Williams is regarded as the first African-American cardiologist.
Not only was he a surgeon, but he also, I like what he did. He went back and gave to his community. He started training other blacks to be surgeons.
Absolutely.
I like that.
Yeah.
Impressive.
He went on to co-found the National Medical Association and became the first black physician admitted to the American College of Surgeons. Wow. Mr. Daniel Hale Williams, may you rest in peace, sir. We thank you for the significant contributions that you made to healthcare as an African American.
This is so awesome because this is things that our children should be taught, that we should have been taught, that's just glossed over in our history, in Black American history.
Absolutely. Let's do one more. Jane Cook Wright. She is the daughter of one of the first African American graduates of Harvard Medical School. She grew up with a keen interest in healthcare. Her father, Dr. Lewis Wright, was also the first black doctor appointed to a staff position at a municipal hospital in New York City. And in 1929, the city hired him as police surgeon, the first African American to hold that position. After earning her medical degree, Dr. Jane Cook Wright worked alongside her father at the Cancer Research Foundation in Harlem, which her father established in 1948. Together, father and daughter researched chemotherapy drugs that led to remissions in patients with leukemia and lymphoma. In 1952, when her father died of tuberculosis, she became the head of the Cancer Research Foundation at age 33. She created an innovative technique to test the effect of drugs on cancer cells by using patient tissue rather than laboratory mice. She advanced to work as the director of cancer chemotherapy at New York University Medical Center, and she was an associate dean at New York Medical College. The New York Cancer Society elected her as its first woman president in 1971, and her research helped transform chemotherapy from a last resort to a viable treatment for cancer. Ah,
she was a very powerful woman, a woman of color. She did her thing throughout her life.
Wow. This is awesome. I'm telling you, I have enjoyed reading about the various African Americans, the advances, their contributions to healthcare. And there's so much more. And we need to make sure that we are sharing these things, that we're educating our children.
We just glossed the surface tonight.
Yeah, we do. I mean, that was just, hey.
A touch of the surface.
That was just a touch of the surface. There's so many more. And like I said, we're going to talk about love, and we're going to bring our guests on. But we wanted to make sure that we took time to recognize Black History Month, to talk a little bit about it, and to honor.
To recognize who we are.
Yeah, to recognize.
Who we are as a people and what we've done for this nation.
Yeah, and we wanted to honor those in the healthcare field that have come before us. And so we hope you enjoy the show. Please encourage people to listen to this special edition of Marriage and More with Sterling and Soretta, Black History Month edition. You'll get a lot out of it, and hopefully you will feel the pride and joy that we have felt as we researched and found this information and learned all these things about the contributions of those of our forefathers that came before us and the things that they've contributed to society.
How'd you say we had to dig deep? We had to dig beyond the surface of what we are taught in school, because we're just taught, I call it, the basics.
Yeah.
The basic of prominence of Black history, you know, Martin Luther King, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's what we're taught. And slavery, that's how we're taught Black history, through those eyes. And outside of that, these people right here, they're forgotten about.
Yeah.
Which is a shame in itself.
It's our responsibility to find this information, to share it, and to make sure that we're passing it on.
Educating our youth.
Educating the generations so that they will educate the generation that comes up behind them, and it will continue to perpetuate, and the history will not be lost. So, great show, Sterling.
Yes.
Great show.
Great show. I was going to say one more thing, but you...
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
It's letting us know that our people are strong and that we can do and accomplish anything if given the chance.
Absolutely. I like that. Well, we thank you for tuning in to the show. Make sure you listen. After we're out of here, there will be an announcement about how you can follow us on social media. We'd love to hear from you. Come on, email us, message us, let us know what you think about the show and how we're doing, and help us be in the top three. We're trying to get up in that top three, y'all. We can do it, but we need your help.
Yes, we need your help.
We need your help to do it. So as we always end our show with our marriage mantra, the more you put in your marriage,
the more you will get out of your marriage.
Until next time, take care.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in to the Marriage and More podcast with Sterling and Soretta Smith. Follow Sterling and Soretta on Instagram and Facebook at Marriage and More with Sterling and Soretta.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcasts. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.